You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. As promised, on the line, the mayor of the city of Milwaukee, Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
All right. It's been a while.
I know. I'm glad we're back in the saddle here.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about immigration. A lot to talk about. Let's talk about immigration and the role that the city of Milwaukee is going to play in that. All over this nation, there are mayors who are steadfastly refusing to agree to the stipulations that have been placed on them by, you know, the president of the United States. What is your role, and what is the role of the city of Milwaukee's law enforcement arm in dealing with the immigration issue in this city?
Well, that's a great question, and thank you for asking it. So first and foremost, let me just say that I think it's important that every single person in our community, and even outside of our community, but specifically in Milwaukee, is treated with dignity and is treated with respect, regardless of what their status is. That's exactly what we work to do with city service delivery in the city of Milwaukee. More specifically, as it relates to interactions of people of all immigration status, including people who are undocumented, the Milwaukee Police Department is not immigration police. It's not ICE, right? That's not the city's responsibility. That's a federal responsibility. And so the city does not engage, the police department does not engage with ICE on a routine basis. So I want people to know in Milwaukee that if they have a situation that's going on where they need help, where they need to call 911, where they need assistance from the Milwaukee Police Department or the Milwaukee Fire Department or any city services, they should still feel comfortable and feel free to have that outreach to our city services so they can get the services that they need. I think that if, you know, we backpedal there, then that'll cause people not to report incidents of crime, not to report incidents of domestic violence, not to report if somebody is hurt and needs life-saving medical care that our city services provide. So we want folks to know that it's our goal, and more than just our goal, it's a responsibility to treat folks with dignity and respect. That's what we have done, and that's what we will continue to do in Milwaukee.
So let's say, for instance, I'm an illegal immigrant. Number one, I don't know how you can tell what an illegal immigrant looks like, right? I mean, you have to do some profiling. You have to do some profiling in order to sift through to find out whether or not a person is an illegal immigrant or not. So what are the rights of people who are here, who are not breaking the law, and people roll up on them and say we're ICE? You know, what rights do people have?
Well, I think that there are organizations out there right now, and as a matter of fact, we at the city hosted a number of organizations just recently at the Mitchell Street Library, letting folks know exactly what their rights are in the city of Milwaukee. So if somebody comes up to you and, you know, tells you that they're with, you know, Immigration Customs Enforcement, there are rights that you have. And what I've been encouraging folks to do, exactly what we did at that event that I'm telling you about, we worked with the Mexican consulate, we worked with immigration attorneys, we worked with For Latino to make sure that folks have access to documentation, access to information, to let them know exactly what they can or what they can do in an incident like that. I don't believe you have to, you know, give that sort of information out unless there is a warrant. And if there's no warrant, then I don't think you have to give that information out, as far as I understand. So I want folks to do some research on this and reach out to those organizations that I just mentioned to make sure that they are fully up to speed about what their rights are in a situation like that.
So what I'll do is have those organizations on the air. I think it clearly serves the purpose of civic media to get information out to people. And so I'll get access to those people who can give the Book of Hoyle on how people, what they should expect and what they can't expect. Let me ask you, because in the face of this continued onslaught and from the Trump administration that immigration is so, out of control, and that most of the immigrants in this country, either they're illegal or they're criminals and we've got to get them out of here. There's so many people who are considered illegal immigrants who have become a part of the fabric of our city and our state and our country. And they get up and they go to work every day and they do the right thing and they pay taxes. And it will certainly, if they're able to do the things that they're saying, they'll cause, a disruption to the economy of this nation. Is it safe to say that?
It is completely safe to say that, Earl. I mean, look, the people who are coming here, I remember when I was first interested in getting involved in politics after the 9/11 and getting involved with service programs at the YMCA, and George W. Bush was president at the time. And I was a 14-year-old kid, and I started watching national news because I wanted to know what was going on in my city, the state, the country, and the world. And I remember perhaps it was during Hispanic Heritage Month, and George W. Bush was governor of Texas before he was president of the United States. And there was a celebration at the White House, I believe, again, for Hispanic Heritage Month. And President Bush, a Republican at the time, said, if I'm in Mexico or someplace further south, and I don't have economic opportunity, and cartels are threatening me and the like, and the Golden Door is sitting right there, I'd be hard pressed not to try to make a break for the United States too, the land of opportunity. And look, it's not the fault of these individuals that this country for literally decades hasn't solved the immigration issue at our border. They haven't put a solid immigration policy forward, unfortunately, because folks have try to use that as a political issue to run on. And we saw that in this last election. But the fact of the matter is that we haven't fixed it. Folks are here. They are integrated into our economy, as you spoke about. And in Wisconsin, we've got a three-legged stool for our economy. It's agriculture, it's tourism, it's manufacturing. And each of those is impacted by immigration, each and every single one of them. When you look at people who are in the fields, when you look at people who are in warehouses and manufacturing, when you look at people who are in restaurants and in hotels cleaning and preparing the food. So if there's this whole scale rounding folks up, not just, folks who committed crime, death, harm, and destruction, but folks who simply, crossed the border and didn't have documentation, you will devastate the economy in Wisconsin and across the country.
If you're just joining us, my guest is the mayor of the city of Milwaukee, Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Let me ask you, back in my day, Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called a switcheroo. And what that is talking about one thing while behind the scenes, there's a greater issue that people should be addressing. And so while they're continuing to hammer on the Trump administration, it's continuing to hammer on the immigration issue. Tell us a little bit about the inherent dangers of policies that are being crafted that will impact the resources for cities like the city of Milwaukee and the impact that that will have on the citizens and the city itself.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can appreciate the terms switcheroo that was popular back in your day. That in these first several weeks, at least, it seems to be exactly what's happened in terms of the direction of the Trump administration. And this man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making life more affordable, everyday life more affordable for the average American. And I can't tell you of the 50 plus executive orders that he signed, which one focuses in on that? Which one does that? I mean, I've been going to the same gas station for the past several weeks. Gas continues to go up. Eggs are, what they are right now. The tariff or the trade wars is imposing would increase costs on American consumers. I just don't see that. But specifically talking about what you mentioned about and what their policies would do that would harm Milwaukee, I mean, they're talking about freezing funding across a whole range of categories that would negatively impact the city of Milwaukee to the tune of millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars. When I think about our push to remove lead service lines out of the ground in Milwaukee, those things are impacted by Trump administration action. When we talk about our health department, which is funded by and large by federal grants, that is impacted by these sort of things. When we talk about what's going to happen with community development block grants and those resources that go to nonprofit organizations that serve the communities in need in this community, those things are impacted by the things that the Trump administration and the president himself have targeted since they've been in office. So, yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is, if they have their way, going to cause more pain to folks.
The city is certainly, again, I've lived here for 70 years. I've seen the ups and downs of it, the ins and the outs of it over the decades. The positive movement in many areas of this city will certainly be impacted and affected by decisions that are being made right now by a man who is not elected to even govern. Your thoughts?
I think it is extremely dangerous and wholly unordinary for somebody like Elon Musk to have the broad access and power that he does to go into federal agencies, rifle through the private information of Americans, and be able to go in with a hatchet and cut down on federal agencies, even after Congress, the voice of the American people has spoken and appropriated things, and just cut, cut, cut. And I mean, as you know, Earl, I mean, the United States government only has so many places and where you can cut in terms of discretionary spending. Many of those things are programs that everyday Americans rely on, whether it's Social Security, whether it's Medicare, whether it's Medicaid. So I'm concerned about that. I'm also concerned about, things like USAID and the good work that this agency does to promote peace, not just here, but across the world, helping to resolve conflict, helping to make sure that people don't end up with disease. Diseases, as you know, because we just saw this with COVID, they know no borders.
So Mayor
don't pay
Jensen,
attention to international boundaries.
It is unfortunate that we're out of time, but we can certainly, make sure that we stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk again.
All right. That's Mayor Cavalier Johnson, the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website, a voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK.
Like a knife, she's out of my life. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I want to thank Mayor of the City of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson, for joining us. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Thank you very much, Dr. Craig. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Earl?
I'm doing fine. Let's take this caller quickly. Hey, Al, how you doing, man? You say what? Al. All right, we'll come back to Al. So Dr. Craig, there's this thought process that we shouldn't talk about Donald Trump because, policies and things that he's talking about, if we talk about Donald Trump, I think there are times that people get nauseated, by talking about Donald Trump. Dr. Craig, did you see the spectacle yesterday with Elon Musk and Donald Trump, the president of the United States, the media entertaining? I don't understand the media, Dr. Craig. The president of the United States is sitting there twiddling his thumb. And the media is and Trump is saying, hey, talk to him. And the media is complying. Dr. Craig, am I missing something? Did I see this differently?
Well, Earl, unprecedented no longer carries the kind of weight carry. So no, we've never seen some billionaire sitting next to the president fielding all the questions. Of course, the co-star of the show was Elon Musk's toddler. Let's not forget that. And Donald Trump seemed to be fixated at sometimes by the toddler's activities.
Yes.
A very well-behaved toddler, I'll say that. we can't look away from Trump, but the question is, do we look at the spectacle? Do we look at the hat that and where the rabbit has been moved to another hat, right? The ball has been moved. And so it's both there's a constitutional crisis going on here. But of course, we can just stare at the circus and Elon Musk making completely unevidenced and unhinged claims about federal civil servants all over the map, right? And just doing this performance, and both of them are just obsessed with having eyeballs on them and attention. And so we need to see that's happening, because that's important politically, because it's content. People sit in their phones, stare down at content many hours of the day. That is the nature of 2020s in the United States. But then we also need to get deeper as to what it is trying to achieve and what it is trying to both have it to steward at the same time we're looking at it or consuming it.
Dr. Craig, we're looking at what is clearly challenged. Donald Trump and the White House is going to ignore the court orders. The court can't do anything to stop him. And so are we forced now to live with the decisions that are being made? I mean, I read this the other day. They've already taken $1 billion out of education. So the king can make every decision unilaterally, Dr. Craig, and the Congress doesn't see their roles being diminished in this presidency. I don't care if you're a Republican or who you are, you're a congressman. How do you sit by like a lump on a log, Republican congressman, and watch what's taking place here? You swore to uphold the Constitution and do the will of the people.
So taking a little bit of a step back, the structure of our country, for better or for worse, is separation of powers and a competition, really, for power and a mutual self-check between the executive, legislative, and judicial branches. And James Madison, the principal architect of the Constitution, assumed that each branch would jealously guard its power and therefore the system would work, even though each one would be ambitious and it might occasionally be led by people who were this ambitious, that were megalomaniacs. What Madison and the founders did not anticipate is that, though they use, this is their term, a faction, that would be political polarization, a right-wing movement that doesn't care as long as they're getting what they want. So Congress, the leaders of Congress, by a small majority of the Republicans, are not doing their jobs. And so that's, first of all, damaging the constitutional system. They're allowing the executive to usurp their clear constitutional authority to decide what we spend, to have the power of the purse, which is extremely clear in the Constitution and all precedents, okay? And so we have that. So, okay, that leaves it to the courts. One of the problems that courts have is they don't have an army, right? They don't have a police force.
Dr. Craig, so hold the thought. Dr. Craig, hold the thought. 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means the one and only Dr. Craig is holding court. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry. I don't know whether to live or die. And it cuts like a knife. She's out of my
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday, so that means the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. Dr. Craig, we were talking about before we went to break, you were explaining the founding fathers didn't foresee Congress people not doing their jobs, capitulating to clearly a person who is acting as if he's a king. And so they didn't prepare for this. There's nothing that's set. There is no Book of Hoyle that can be followed to correct this.
Yeah, so let me add a little to that. They assumed there are three branches. They check each other. This is, I'm talking about the genius of the American Constitution. And they're jealous about their institutional power. So Congress doesn't let a president take its spending power, for example. What they didn't anticipate, or at least hoped wouldn't happen, was political tribalism and loyalty to one's political tribe that exceeded one's loyalty to the Constitution and to your institution. And so they didn't expect that, or at least they hoped it wouldn't happen. They weren't sure how everything would work out, but they tried to create a system where this check would happen. So the first thing goes right on the Republican majority not doing its job. By the way, they're the first to yell and scream and think a Democrat is usurping their power. So this is all political for them and not about the proper role of Congress, and their claims about upholding the Constitution, defending it, all hot air and wind. They don't mean it. And by the way, there's some notion, oh, Congress agrees because the majority thinks this is fine. Congress is an institution that goes beyond any given Congress, any two-year session. So all the laws that were passed by previous Congresses, they're still on the books. Congress has an obligation to make sure they're enforced until Congress changes them, okay? So this is bigger than this Congress, this very narrow majority. Then you have the courts, okay? The courts, it was unclear at the beginning. The courts asserted the authority to interpret the Constitution, judicial review in Marbury versus Madison, 1802, I believe, so very early in the country's history. There have been very few instances where presidents have simply defied the courts. J.D. Vance mentioned one of them, the most infamous one, that is when Andrew Jackson said, when Justice Marshall says unconstitutional, remove the Cherokees and the other so-called civilized tribes from Georgia. Justice Marshall has made his decision, now let him enforce it, and proceeded to do ethnic cleansing and cause a tremendous amount of pain and death and suffering, the Trail of Tears. So that's not a very friendly or you know, appealing precedent. It's unclear. You mentioned, are they ignoring these court decisions? Are they going to create a further constitutional crisis by, because they first just done a number of things they know been illegal before and just doing them so quickly that we have over 40 cases, Earl, and counting. There are more being filed every day, right? And we have a whole number of judges that have put it on injunctions on the behavior. One judge has come back on the funding freeze and said, you seem to be violating the order and this could get you held in contempt. So now what will they do, right? Like Head Start agencies reportedly are still not getting their money, for example, and they legally have to get their money unless Congress takes away their money. And so then we have voices like Vance and Trump to some degree and Musk saying that we should ignore them. But on the other hand, they're arguing these cases out in a traditional way, that is the Justice Department is. So it's sort of like a toddler, they're pushing the envelope. It's unclear whether they'll go all the way. Maybe they're trying to coerce the courts into giving them more power, threaten them, or maybe they will wholesale start ignoring rulings. And maybe they're trying to coerce the Supreme Court into moving the ball and giving them more power. So it's a little bit fuzzy, but it's a constitutional crisis, and what they're doing has never been done by an executive before. Let me just do a bunch of things that are on face illegal and see if they can stop me.
Dr. Craig, can one governmental body put another governmental body in contempt? And if so, what does that look like?
Well, you can't really, because of the Supreme Court ruling on immunity and rather not an extra constitutional DOJ memo that says a president can't have legal action against him when he's president, even though for the same reason we described above, the political tribalism of the Republican Party, the impeachment clause is null and void. So there is no accountability, but you can hold in contempt all of the other people, it would appear. In other words, all the attorney general, Treasury Secretary.
Yeah, but those are governmental employees.
They are, but they can be held in contempt, and
and the threat is being locked up or fined. I mean, that's the most they can do.
Yes, and it doesn't seem like a fine would be much of a deterrent to Elon Musk, right, for example. and by the way, Elon Musk's role, the entities put charge of, all constructed illegally, all extra constitutional, let alone the Doge boys, the 19 to 25 year olds that are rooting around our systems. And it came out in a court filing yesterday. Yes, one of them, the one that said he was racist before it was cool to be racist, had read and write access, so could have changed all the vital records of the country. And Republicans are getting public opinion matters, not just resistance, but public pressure. And they're getting, according to Lisa Murkowski, the senator from Alaska, 40 times the usual calls. Republicans are writing letters back to constituents saying, oh, they only have right access. Don't worry, I'm concerned too. I'm watching it carefully, when they do nothing. So there is a normal politics here where the system is feeling pressure and they're beginning to feel the heat, these Republicans, as they do nothing. But you're right. It depends how far they're going to push it. But even if they don't push it all the way, Earl, and they may, we don't know, this is still highly dangerous because they are seizing a lot of additional power, right? And they're hoping that the courts, like the worst thing, John Roberts' greatest fear, and he said this, is that the courts are not respected and therefore people don't follow their ruling. So one way to do so, does he really want a confrontation with Donald Trump and Elon Musk? Or is he going to do what they did on the immunity case and create brand new law? The problem for Roberts is a lot of the cases they've been deciding of saying all the power is in Congress. That is the decision that overturned the Chevron deference, which said that we defer to the experts in administrative agencies. That was a decision over the president and the executive branch and said it's all with the Congress. So they'd have to really get whiplash and flip back to say, oh, no, now the president can go and decide what money to spend. And Congress's spending power turns out to be advisory, despite the fact it's the only spending power in the Constitution.
So if you're just joining us, it's none other than my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, as always on Wednesday at 9. Dr. Craig, before we go to the phone lines, so, you know, John Roberts was saying, well, people aren't following the rulings. The only people who aren't following what the judges are saying are these people, are the Republicans. All others have always followed it, and that's why these are uncharted waters. We haven't seen this, not in our lifetimes, Dr. Craig. You see Cash Patel, a guy who's not even elected yet, right in the middle of firing FBI agents. You've seen that they're getting rid of people in, what's the name of the entity that deals with disasters?
FEMA.
Firing people from doing their jobs in FEMA. These things are unprecedented, Dr. Craig, and really outlandish, and yet they're getting away with it.
I mean, there's almost too much, and we don't even know all they're doing.
Right.
Like one of their defenses about what Elon Musk's kids are doing, programmers and engineers are doing inside the payment system of the Treasury Department, has all our Social Security checks, all our tax information, all federal employee information, all federal contracts. It has all of everything, is that we're not sure what they're doing.
Well, right.
But he told Elon Musk yesterday, this is a very transparent process because he does a lot of expos.
Supposedly
finding. I think, and we can talk about this more, Earl, once the official mechanism of influence, the usual, and we don't know that court cases are not, but court cases, legislation introduced by Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, all of that don't work anymore, or just calling your congresspersons, so they'll keep doing it, is that you start to need to have a resistance movement that uses other kinds of power to force the question, and peaceful, nonviolent power. And the problem is that our Democratic leaders are ill-equipped for that. They're used to being able to, threaten to slow down confirmations of Trump appointees, and then people are going to step back and compromise, and that stuff doesn't work anymore. It's interesting, Schumer seems to be moving, if we can believe the comments he's making. Hakeem Jeffries is sticking in this, I'm looking for a bipartisan lane.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know. I mean, someone needs to talk to Congressman Jeffries. He's obviously a brilliant man, and just say, this is not what will do anything now. And it's seen by most of the public that is very attentive. He's getting a lot of criticism. So they're going to need a new playbook, but they may not be the leaders at the end here. They may be the followers.
Let's go to Jim from Eaton. Good morning to you, Jim. You say what, sir?
Yes. Good morning, Earl. Yep, thank you. I was just wondering, wouldn't you agree that Elon Musk's DOGE, investigating the former Milwaukee Common Council president, Willie Hines, who was the HACM, the Housing Authority Director in Milwaukee, who resigned due to losing $2.8 million, you know, isn't that a good thing? 60% of Americans want better accountability of our taxpayer dollars.
Well, let me say this. So the issue with Health and Human Services, Housing Authority for the City of Milwaukee certainly needs to be investigated. But I would say to you then, Jim, so you feel comfortable with Elon Musk, who has all kind of contracts with the military, being able to himself and his crew page through what's going on in the military budget, and nobody's watching him? You think that's okay? You think that makes sense?
No, he should be investigated.
But
too.
There's nothing there to investigate him, Jim. He said, no, it's not. He said yesterday, we're going to make some mistakes along the way. And so if you see us and point it out, we made a mistake, we'll correct it. No, there are no checks. Dr. Craig, are there checks and balances in the system the way it's created now with Elon Musk?
Well, Doge isn't looking at city of Milwaukee politics. And furthermore, it seems like the system held, that is to say, there was inappropriate spending. It was discovered, people resigned, and now there's a new leadership of Hackam. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? There are going to be issues.
Yes.
And that they explained why there was COVID, you know, shortage of money. So they used money that couldn't be used for administrative salaries and they used it. And now that's been revealed and there's been accountability. That's not what's going on here at all. If you want to get to, yes, American people think there are a lot of government waste and anything big administrative thing, including big corporate bureaucracies, there's going to be tons of waste. Is this a system to find the waste? Wouldn't you bring in accountants? Why do you bring in young commuter programmers that can rewrite code and look for people to punish? And why wouldn't you make it very transparent? Because Elon Musk, listening to him, they haven't found any fraud. It's all like a kind of fodder for X, right? Oh, you wouldn't believe the incredible fraud and stealing we've had. We have people getting rich and they have low salaries. Not a single example. No process, no nothing. If you want to believe that Facebook memes and other social media virility is investigating fraud and abuse and waste, then I guess, you know, the American people will, you know, it goes back to the carnival age and what they would believe about what P.T. Barnum told.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to what unbelievably is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can follow us at 855-752-4842. There's never enough time for my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to the phone lines. Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Wow, I got a new poster that we can make for the Republicans. How about that we replace that cat hanging by one paw? And we just put somebody in a MAGA hat hanging by one hand going, we're hanging in there. Because, listen, there is no accountability. Stop telling us. Don't you think it's a great thing that they're in there looking? These people have no clue what these people are even doing, okay? We don't know what he's in there doing. But sure as heck, he's not in there doing anything good. And by the way, the other thing that Elon said in his little press conference where he puts his child as some kind of social shield in front of him, said that you could go to the Doge website and see all the things they looked at. Go to the Doge website. There's nothing there. No. There's a Doge government website. There's nothing there. And whatever he puts on X doesn't matter because he can say whatever he wants because he owns the platform. I mean, geez Louise, wake up, everybody. And you know what's going to happen? It's not going to be the Congress. It's going to be the people of the United States. It's going to be these farmers you see on these interviews on YouTube. They're saying, yeah, I voted for Trump, and I'd never vote for him again. You see people saying they're going to lose their farms. They're going to lose their homes.
This has been a disaster, and now he's talking about, oh, we're just going to take Gaza.
Hey, Brendan. Really? Hey, Brendan, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Tony, accountability is great. Elon cutting any part of government that can have oversight over him or regulate him is terrifying. Dr. Craig?
Yeah, accountability is great. That's not why you fire all the inspector generals. that was the post-Watergate accountability to make sure there was an independent check on all of the agencies. They didn't want anyone watching, and they fired the USDA, the Agriculture Department's IG, the day after they put a damning report as to what is going on. So it's not about accountability, but it is about canceling out the contracts of Musk's enemies, and he has a huge interest. They're moving to the Pentagon now. And so he has huge number of military contracts. And of course, he has competitors for those military contracts. So and they're not investigating anything in any serious way. Like the 19-year-old who has a profane user handle, Earl, that has gotten a lot of attention,
right.
One of the Doge boys. So he's going to be looking into what happened to Hackham? Really?
Well, he got fired and they brought him back. Let's go.
That was the other one. That one's 25, so he's more of a grown man.
All right, let's go to Ann. Ann, quickly.
Yeah, I don't understand why these Republicans think that these billionaires are going to fix things. They're only out for their own interest. And if these Republicans think that we don't want government waste, but we pay taxes, and it should be done fairly. And I don't understand why they don't think things should be done fairly. First of all, I did look at Fox News today, and they had Steve Witkoff on, who's a billionaire, who was basically saying that Trump and Putin are best buddies, and they got a hostage home in one day because Trump and Putin are such great buddies. This is a guy that's into realty. He's a billionaire.
And I wish we had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, in the midst of all of this, this is not a fiefdom, and it's not a king. And so there's a government that's in place, and these things should be done through the government. Is that now, archaic thinking?
They'd like it to be. Look, I mean, the last caller mentioned Putin. Putin is the result of a looting of the public treasury and the public resources that occurred after the fall of the Soviet Union. In fact, a lot of American wealthy people and corporate leaders participated in that, actually, and advised it. A lot of economists associated with the Chicago School. So these are the same folks. How far it will go really depends on all of us and whether we get involved, because there is going to need to be massive public pressure on the system against this, because the checks within the system have been worn away or atrophied, or as the callers pointed out, and which is obvious, a party, members of Congress, Senate, and the House, who won't do their job because they're more loyal to their own political careers and their own political tribe than the Constitution or the American system or way of life.
Hey, Dr. Craig, always, man, great stuff. Really appreciate it. One thing for sure, there won't be any shortage of things to talk about in the next, I was going to say 4 years, but in the next week, actually by tomorrow. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, thank everybody who made the show go as well. Thank you, the listening audience. Couldn't do it without you. Thank you, Cardi. Up next, Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Matinee on air. Hey, make sure you got your snowshoes. See you guys on tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.